This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to the Futurology Show, proudly brought to us by MTN Business. Hello, B2.
Hey, B1.
How's it going?
Good, man.
So what do you think? I mean, people can't see, but we are sitting in our brand new studio.
It is pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
It's so shiny and new.
I know. It's so nice. But I'm sure we can change that really soon. So yeah, people, I mean, you can't see. Maybe it's up on the website and that. But with our new sister company, or sister station rather, Touch Central, we have moved Cliff Central into, definitely in my opinion, a much better studio. I must say, Brett, that last night was a bit of a sleepless night for me moving onto an analog mixer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so for anyone who's never ever worked a mixer or mixing desk or whatever the right word is for these things that we use for radio, we used to have a nice easy digital one, and now we've got all these knobs. So I've got lots
just
of knobs.
Keep them shiny, bro.
I'm going to keep them shiny, buddy.
That's cool.
But
so
I
the faders
say,
don't just have their ups and downs anymore. There's with digital desks, there's all these
buttons
and menus.
We can go up and down and round and round and all those cool things.
That's very
cool. It's lacquer. So anyway, let's go back to the usual form.
App of the
week. Proudly brought to you by hashtag
MTN Business.
And Futurology as well. But okay, that's a second pun, so why not? Thanks, yeah. MTN.
We really like you guys for sponsoring the show, so it's
awesome. Before I go into the app, I actually want to give you a little bit of an update. I don't know if you remember, months ago, I talked about Nexar, which was an AI dash cam that you could use on your iPhone.
Oh, yeah?
So it overlaid all the information. They announced this last week that it's now available for Android. So, you know, we call it an app as an innovative app, and obviously the market demand is there that they've now gone and rolled out into Android. And we see that a lot with people that don't develop apps, don't realize, you know, to build in the two different operating systems is not always easy. So, yeah, well done, Nexar. You've moved into Android, I suppose.
Excellent.
A bigger market. But the app of the week this week is called Bottles. So we're in springtime. We've got Bra Day coming up for you listening overseas, Barbecue Day on the 24th. And what Bottles is all about, I think this is brilliant. Okay, so it's called Bottles alcohol app or alcohol delivery app. So when you're at
South
a bra.
African app, eh?
Yeah, South African. So well done, guys. So when you're at a bra and you kind of run out of beer, okay, someone has to go on a beer run. But if you've run out of beer, it means you shouldn't be going anywhere, let alone running. So what they do is they will deliver within 60 minutes. So like when you crank that last beer where the guy takes a cigarette lighter and he pops it open, you can hit the app. They're rolling out
and
into
a responsible
quite a few
human
areas,
being gets there with a new supply.
Brings it for you. Your credit
Fantastic.
Card's already listed. I mean, I really think that's a great, great app. It's well thought out. You don't actually have to leave the fun either.
And the service will be brilliant because you never want to argue with a drunk person, a drunk, thirsty person.
A drunk, thirsty person. So, yeah, that was my app of the week this week.
I downloaded the app of the week on the Apple Store.
Yeah.
And it was a game, and it's called Noodles.
I know. It's awesome, hey?
And I haven't stopped playing it since.
I know.
And it's one of those little time wasters or those like mind-numbing games that just help you woosah the day a little bit.
Well, talking about
so
time wasting,
Noodles is very good. If you haven't got it, I think it's still the free app. So
it is. I think the free app comes out every Friday.
Okay,
we're going to
cool.
be talking lots about Apple just now. But I must just say as well, you know, big up to you and for the effort that you made. You're jumping on a plane overseas tonight.
Correct. Yeah.
So you're going from here to the airport.
Yeah, pretty much.
I hope you've got lounge access because it's going to be a hell of a long day.
We've just been told that our flight's been delayed somewhat, so
okay.
We'll be making good use of the lounge time.
All right, perfect. Well, there's
won't stop the emails though, so we'll
okay,
be busy.
Fantastic. Well, you can noodle as well. You can doodle as well. Oh no, wait, you can't.
Noodle, canoodle.
All right, so Google.
Yes.
I'm going to be speaking about Apple a lot, but Google's now competing with Uber.
Yes.
Okay. So they own Waze. Now, if anyone doesn't use Waze, please start using Waze. It's amazing. I mean, I've saved so many hours in the traffic using Waze. For those people that don't know Waze, it's basically like Google Maps.
Crowdsourced traffic.
But crowdsourced traffic.
Yeah.
So you tell people where there's accidents and cops and all those things and cops and more cops and accidents and cops. You can see where I'm going with this. But what they've done is because Google or Alphabet owns Waze, they've looked at the Uber model and they're trying it now in San Francisco. They want people to carpool. So they're offering really competitive rates, cheaper than Uber, to get two people that are going to be moving in the same direction to actually carpool together. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting space to watch.
That's
and
one
see.
Of the great things. Sorry to interrupt.
No,
one
no.
of the great things about Waze is it's not just helping the individuals with their traffic routing, but because the more people that start to use it, the better the crowdsource information is. The nice thing is it starts to redirect flows of traffic. So we actually have less traffic jams because there are...
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So
I actually didn't realize
that. It actually
that.
Gives you the path of least resistance each time. And if you... Once that path is full up, then the person 100 cars back gets another path. And it sort of distributes all the traffic.
That really is clever.
So a good reason for more people to start using it.
Okay. I just use it for the cops. I'll be brutally honest. But
Xpotter was good, but Waze is rocky. Yeah.
Okay. But now I have to moan at Google. And I don't moan at Google often. Okay. But they're so busy worrying about Uber and Waze and blah, blah, blah. They have canned Project Aura. Now, for those of you that don't remember
phone.
Us talking, yep, the modular phone. So they've canned Project Aura. They're Aura souls, as far as I'm concerned, because they've basically said it's not viable. People demands. Look, guys, don't talk crap. You wouldn't have invested all the time and effort into building it if there wasn't a demand for it and it wasn't viable.
Essentially what they've done then is they've just completely absorbed a Kickstarter project and that phone block.
Yeah.
And now they're just not doing it.
Well, they haven't been total enemies of the state.
Okay.
I mean, they haven't gone quite Trump on us just yet. They have said they're more than happy for like the Motorolas of the world and the Lenovos and that to do a license deal with them and take it over.
That's nice of them.
Yeah, but all they've actually done though is exactly what you said, by absorbing phone blocks, who was already, I saw them in Barcelona in 2014.
2013, yeah.
Somewhere there. They've just waited. Held them back by like 3 years. Mm. But anyway.
And we called Apple out in that a couple of months ago as well for doing the same thing.
Same
buying
thing.
Guys out and then just shutting
and
them
then
down.
And then shutting them down, 100%. So guys, stop bullying. There's enough for everyone to play in. All right, so I'm not hitting on Google anymore. Now I'm moving into Apple. So we're in spring. It's my favorite time of the year. Okay,
awesome.
I absolutely love spring. But not only that, tonight, for any fanboy out there, should we do the Star Wars theme?
I've lost it.
Okay. So anyway, I've lost it too. I think I actually had Star Trek popping in my head.
I had like a mixture of Superman and Indiana Jones. So that would have gone completely pear-shaped.
All right. So I'm just putting a message out there to any of my clients. Yes, I do respond to email at night. Yes, I do care. Tonight, I don't give a shit. At 10 o'clock Pacific time, Apple event comes on to talk about the new iPhones. The new iOS. There's rumors of a watch. We're definitely getting Watch 3. I mean, we've seen the beta of that already. So it's a really, really, really special day for us. In fact, they should call it Apple Day. I don't know what day it is today. I mean, I know it's Wednesday, but it should be Apple Day.
7th of the 9th.
But to just put a little bit of dampener on them, they got hit with a $14.5 billion tax bill from Ireland.
Sweet.
Yeah, sweet shit. apparently, a deal was done between Apple and Ireland to reduce tax or manage tax. Because they were bringing in wealth or equity or I don't know, you know, one of these type of deals. But effectively, instead of paying 12.5% tax, it was agreed to 1%. So I can kind of see why the EU was a little bit upset about that. It sounds like something we would do here. Were the Guptas in Ireland recently? No. Anyway, so...
They may have been. Nobody would know. They landed at some secret military airbase somewhere and snuck in via Uber.
So, I mean, obviously Apple's going to fight it. But the point is that they've done it. It's $14.5 billion. It's going to have an effect on their shares. But they have been given a little bit, like a little early Christmas present, because equally on the day of launch of the new iPhone, Samsung has had to recall their Note 7. Now, I must say, I don't bash brands that often, except for Microsoft. Did I just do it again? Anyway, so...
It's a freebie.
You know, the thing is, out of all the Samsung devices, the one that I've always liked, and in fact, I owned the first Note, is the Note, because you can use the stylus and you can write your notes. Our guest is sitting here today with a book, like the good old-fashioned analog book in front of him. Big up for you. He can't chirp me back because his mic's off. But I love the concept of that stylus and writing. Now, what came out yesterday... is that the final recall number is 2.5 million devices. Brett, that's a cuckload of numbers. I mean, 2.5 million, the direct cost in hardware, the cost of recall, the cost of brand damage.
And you used the first stylus, so they had to buy another one. So
no, I think they put extra in the
stylus.
Box. You'll probably find the guys will hold on to the stylus.
What is the plural of stylus? Styli? Stylies?
I don't know.
Styli eyes?
Google it.
Oh, well.
Well, you can't use an Apple Note 7 for it, but you can Google it. So... Yeah, it's a bit of a blow, but maybe that $14.5 billion will come in through sales of people not buying Samsung. Your favorite time of the day, Brett, Pokemon Chronicles. I've only got one today, okay?
Thought you were about to hand me a beer.
No, they're starting to soft cap all these guys that are cheating. So what's actually happening is we're finally getting rid of Pokemon. The downloads
are going
down.
You can no longer make a business on Pokemon.
No, you can't make a business on
it. Poor guys.
But they soft capping you. My son's actually done it. He's downloaded a joystick that sits on top of his game, so he can actually go somewhere without actually going somewhere. And all the notes. And he's like, "Dad, check this out. As long as I don't go too fast, they won't soft ban me." And I'm like, "Dude, what? You're 10 years old."
And he's already hacked the system.
Yeah, he's got APKs running and all these. That's why I gave him an Android. I don't let him on my network. So yeah, they're starting to soft cap. Their numbers are starting to decrease. Happier times, VR. So, yes. Yosemite, you know the big park in America, the big like natural place. In fact, Apple named their last OSs.
Yeah.
It's just turned 100. And President Obama went there for the official celebration. But what they did is they filmed him as he walked through and he's narrated and they've turned it into a 360 video. So you can watch it on Facebook. Excuse me. But you can also put it into headset mode.
Yes.
That's really cool. And then a little name from the past, not too many people probably, mind you, I think they came back, was Alcatel. Do you remember Alcatel? The French company, they made cell phones many years ago, then they disappeared. And I think we saw them as handsets, like PBXs.
Yep.
And I think recently they tried a game in the smartphone market. They've just laid down a very, very cool gauntlet. No hardware required VR. So you don't have to put your phone into a tray or a cardboard or Oculus has to.
That used to be called imagination. No hardware required VR. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to think about things for a while.
Oh, shit. You're still analog. Okay. Let me rephrase that. No phone to be put in or no process has to be added and connected. Like Oculus, you have to connect to a computer.
Yeah.
And Samsung Gear and even Zeiss, the things that we love. Yeah. You have to slide a phone. They're actually bringing out an all-in-one unit. So you actually pick up your VR headset for VR experiences.
Okay, cool.
So that's coming out soon. So that whole space is really, really playing nicely.
Nice.
What else have I got in my little news?
On the VR side of it, I mean, the reason why I'm going overseas is to attend the IBC conference, the International Broadcast Conference in Amsterdam. And they've got a nice future zone. They're launching it. They launched it about two years ago. But a big focus is going to be on not just VR, but 360 VR, obviously, but live 360 VR.
You've mentioned that before, that whole like live sense and all that kind of stuff.
So I'll have some good VR stuff to add when I get back in 2 weeks' time.
So then you can talk all the opening credits and take us through all this stuff.
Yeah, I think it'll be quite fun. I'm gonna...
2 weeks' time. Are you bunking next week?
Oh, well, I'll be in Amsterdam next week. It's a week-long conference.
Do they not have Skype in Amsterdam?
I can try and Skype. Well,
okay,
I have 27 meetings in 4 days. So
I don't
care. We'll try and slot it in.
This is important. To me, it's important.
It is important.
I mean, in my new fancy studio here.
I'll put the head of VR and the world on hold.
Damn right. Does he know who I am?
We'll just rope him in.
Just say, do you know who I am? So, Apple, my last point on Apple, they've actually got a new target on their back. Huawei have made quite a bold statement. They reckon by 2018, they will be the second biggest phone brand in the world.
Good luck.
Brett, I'm quite happy to back that pony, huh? You're shaking your head. You know, I've played with their devices.
Apple sauce, bro.
No. I still like the Apple sauce, but I've played with Huawei's devices. Their build is good. Their quality is good.
Hmm.
If you're using Android, it's not a bad device.
Yeah.
They're
very likely to drop about 1 million devices into Africa and be done with it.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. But speaking of Android, in fact, and I am going to digress because Huawei leads me to China, Xiaomi, whatever they call it. But another one that comes through the radar is ZTE.
Yes.
Okay. Now, ZTE is here, but mainly in their dongles and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I was sent a little care packet. So if you're listening, guys, at FNB, thank you. They sent me their new phones. So FNB, you know, and B3 Bomber, Brett St. Clair, I'm so sorry, my bud. Your bot was innovative, but hell, these oaks have just moved it again. So FNB have gone into the phone business now.
Yeah.
They have their own branded phones. It's called the Kinexus.
Yeah.
I played with the top of the range and the bottom of the range. They have two. So there's an A and an X. The unpackaging was so awesome. I felt like
really?
A kid the night before Christmas Eve. They just did such a fantastic job in packaging this this device. The low-end one is low-end. It's what you would expect.
That's the A1, yeah?
The A. But I think it's like $50 a month. So, you know, what are you expecting? You can get into Android and smart devices for 50 Rand a month. That's not a bad way to go. The other one, this X, which is where I spent my time, the specs were good. It is a ZTE. It says so on the box. It comes with a screen protector. It comes with a cover. It's branded FNB. And when you flip it over from the back, it actually looks like the iPhone 4. It's got this round silver...
It kind of looks like an
you've got it open on your screen. Yeah,
Android,
it's like a
Android
sexy,
on an iPhone.
Yeah, it's a really, but it launches the FMB app as it starts up.
Oh,
so
cool.
It starts up, the home central focus is the FMB app. And there's some perks. I'm not going to sit here and punt the perks, but I was very, very impressed with the device. So I think what's coming out of China, my point that I was getting to is, yeah, we're going to see some really good stuff.
Do you think the AbsaBot works on the Kinexus? just
it's probably a good thing that you off to
Amsterdam. I'm out of the country for a while.
Anyway, so I've waffled. I've done. Been there. So hopefully some insightful news. But we're now in guest number four. Am I right?
Yeah.
So of the Gartner Aspiring Innovators, we are at guest number four. And we have with us Andrew. I think we can call him Andy. Papa Stefano, welcome.
That's right. Thank you for having me.
How's it going? So, Andy, I just have to say, I was actually listening to the radio yesterday on 94.7. They were talking, or the day before, they were talking about names. And there's some poor guy in Durban called Dennis Cockhead. Okay. And they phoned him. Now, I've never heard Darren Simpson not be able to pull off a prank call, but he just couldn't. And the guy's like, Dennis Cockhead. And Derry just starts laughing. Okay, I'm not suggesting your name, Dennis. I'm getting there. Okay,
I was like, radio,
it's still radio. And then everyone starts phoning about how, like, there's a Dr. Snook who's a gynecologist in Cape Town, and all these things are going. When I read your surname, all that I can think of was the James Bond movie. I think it was Ian Fleming when they had the voodoo. It's like you only live once. And it was like Big Papa. It was like Papa Stefano or something like that. It was like this cool name.
You're not a Bond villain, are you?
No, he's not a Bond. He's actually a very cool guy. So, Andrew, you've got a company called Impression. As I said, you're number four. Not that there's a rank. It's the fourth in our series of the Gartner Aspiring Innovators. I know you've heard the show. I know how you. So I never ever tell people what is it you do. That's your job. So your mic's on. Tell us what you do.
Thanks, Brett. So as a business owner, I receive mails all week long. People sending me proposals, quotations, contracts, where they ask me to print out these documents, sign it, and return it back. It's really frustrating because you've got to find a printer. Make sure it's loaded with ink and paper and print that document from your email. You've then got to sign literally one page of that contract, scan it back into your email and send it back. Before you know it, you've lost 15 minutes and you end up shredding that paper copy. So what Impression lets you do is it lets you open up any document directly from your mail on any device. You can review that document and sign it on the device, either using your finger or, if you've got one, a stylus.
Well, not on a Note 7, 6 or anything below.
And you can then immediately attach that signed document back to your email and send it back out.
So, effectively, you're able to sign documents on a device, or, well, it'll have to be a touchscreen, I assume. You can't do it on a PC, or can you? Am I wrong?
We've got an on-premise sort of PC version as well, where you can plug in a external signature tablet into the PC or the laptop, and you can sign on these external sort of LCD screens.
Like the banks actually have when you go in and you
that's
you
our product.
Credit card.
That's right. Yeah,
oh,
so
is that your product?
Yeah, so it's actually our product that you've seen in the bank, the big red one.
You know, it's actually the big red one. We play nicely with everyone here. The big red one's old Brett. We love Brett. I mean, he's co-hosted. In fact, I think Brett needs to come and be Brett next week.
B3.
Yeah, B3 can be B2 next week. Brett, if you're listening, please come and co-host with me next week. I'll be lonely. So, you know, I've spent a lot of time in the States, and I've been there many times. And I mean, when you go through the till points, they've always had that you can sign on a screen. You swipe your card, you sign, and off you go. And that's never come here. And I still don't see it. I mean, we've been a chip and pin society with a swipe. But I've always wondered why we haven't used that technology for other things. So, you know, I didn't realize that was actually where it all started for you.
Yes, yeah. So we started in the banks. Mobile devices weren't really prominent at that point when we rolled it out. Smartphones hadn't yet become a thing. So everyone was still going into the branches to sign these documents. And they were having to sign, you know, bundles of these paper documents, tons and tons of them, just to open up three sets of products with the same bank.
Yep.
And you were having to initial every page, wait for that information to come back. If you missed a clause, they would come back and you'd have to sign that particular clause again. And what they do now with that particular solution at ABSA, my big red bank, What they let you do now is with the digital signing, you can sign that document just once. Because the document is electronic, you can't remove pages, you can't change the text. By locking, by signing that document, you lock the whole thing down as one indivisible unit. So there's no need to initial on every page. So from a customer experience perspective, that's a massive benefit for the customers when they come in. You know, they can sit down, they can sign just once, and then they can leave.
That is very cool. Okay, yeah. So now I'm not interrogating you, okay, and I'm not going out to like see how I can poke holes, but there's the one thing that Brett and I spend a lot of our time on is looking at things like security. And, you know, we've had a guest, and I spoke to Candace, by the way, Brett. Mm-hmm. She's keen when we're keen. I said, so once we're through this this whole innovative cycle, we definitely need to go back to security. But I think a lot of my comments and I think a lot of the listeners' initial thoughts are going to go around security. So let me pose a couple of solutions. So the first thing that you said is you don't have to initial each page. Okay. Now, with regards to law, and I'm talking about commercial law, okay, you have to initial every page. I mean, only recently we've been allowed to email things. We don't have to send faxes and have original documents. How will that stand up in a court of law? Has this been written? Is this part of the service that you offer? The question is, I go into a bank or anyone that's going to be using Impression for that matter. I only have to sign a block. Okay, we can go through mechanics now, and they say, sweet, it's done, off you go. The deal goes bad for whatever reason. We go to court. I say, well, I didn't actually sign that page. I never initialed that term.
Mm.
Take us through that journey, sure. What that looks like now.
So you're not 100% correct on there being a legal requirement.
You sound like my wife now.
To sign every single page. It's only very few types of documents where you have to sign every page, a will being an example of that.
Okay.
So for wills, you do have to sign every single page.
Okay.
But most documents, it's not a legal requirement. They do that for their own protection.
They do that to waste my freaking ink.
And they waste your time. And yeah, absolutely.
You and the information were in the same place at the same time. You read it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Impression is fully compliant with all local South African laws and international laws. It's in use by banks. You know, we're opening bank accounts. We're selling insurance. We're signing proof of delivery documents with this technology. So it's very much legally signed, and we've got the full audit trail that sits behind those signed documents.
So, okay. So I was wrong. I can't believe I actually – hold on a second.
Say it again.
That was you. Yeah, I was going to say. My wife's going to play that sound bit over and again. I'm going to walk home. She's going to go, I was wrong. I was wrong.
This is a new ringtone.
I was wrong to say it was required. So, okay, I've learned something today. Thank you. I didn't realize that. I mean, I'm not exactly going to sit and fight people and say, oh, look, I don't have to sign. Andy said so. And he's a voodoo doctor from a James Bond movie, so watch out. But
look, when we roll the solution out in the financial services, there's quite long – legal loops,
sure.
Loops and loops. Jeez. That you've got to fly through to get the solution as an accepted solution. Mm. And in addition to that, we also had an independent review, a legal review done of the solution, both the software and the process that we take customers through. And in all cases, we check the boxes. So it is a fully compliant alternative for signing documents.
Okay. All right. So did you have a question, Brett? Sorry.
I think it's probably the question you're going to get to. But yeah, well, why do companies... And it's very company-focused. Individuals will still use this, can still use this app. But when you think about how much stuff MDs and admin and execs, and you were talking about admin at the beginning of the show, but why do companies need it? Is it more a convenience factor? Is it a safety factor? Or is it a combination of everything?
Yeah, look, to say that there's only sort of a business focus, I think there's massive applications for the individual as well.
Sure,
so, I mean, I use it in my personal capacity.
All that timeshare you got to get.
Yeah, absolutely. All the things that my wife sends me to sign off.
I was going to say, it's the will.
Yeah.
Your wife sent it. Just sign here and here.
Yeah, in blood.
Yeah.
So, it's mutually beneficial for both the customer and the companies that they're working with.
Mm.
To increase the convenience for the customer, the company can build a better relationship with that customer. Mm-hmm. And through that way, they can drive sales. So coming back to being a banking customer, for example, I get a mail in either my inbox or my junk mail, which is a phishing attack. You know, and these things look really realistic. You know,
yes.
You're tempted to open up these things and have a look to see if it's real. And that exposes you to, you know, I said phishing attacks, but there's sometimes even worse stuff in there, like malware.
Yeah.
So Impression allows the company to open a secure channel directly to that customer so they can send important documents right to their phone.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So we bypass the email and we open up a push notification that tells the customer, you've got an important vetted document waiting for you in Impression that's you need to review and sign and send back. So in terms of sifting out what is good mail, what is bad mail, and getting to those important documents, you can build trust with your customer. I spoke about the convenience.
Yeah.
We allow the customer to even take photos of paper documents. So if someone sends you a paper document that you need to sign, you can take a photograph of that paper document and we convert it to electronic format.
You guys are clever, eh? That's amazing.
You can then sign that document electronically and you can send it back, attach it to your mail and send it back out.
So the big click pen is hating you guys right now.
Yeah, that's right.
No, you can make music with a big click. Click. You know what I mean. Okay, so I have just gone through what you're describing. So it was a bank. I had to send them some document for something. They sent me an email with a PDF. Now, and this is where I'm going with this. I got this PDF. Now,
so they didn't have a bot or a phone?
No. check. No, I didn't hear the question properly. So when are you going to Amsterdam? There's going to be a cavity search waiting for you. I know people at Oratumbo. You know that guy, Brett Lindsay? I'm just putting it out there. So, shit, I hope nothing happens to you because it wasn't me. So basically, I got this document like in PDF form. And if you have PDF professional, like, you know, pro, Acrobat Pro, whatever they call it, you can type and write in that and edit on a PDF. So my first thinking is that I don't actually count PDFs as secure. In the definition of secure, the fact that you can edit a document when they launched PDF, like originally, okay, that was the whole selling point, is that you type a document in Word or you develop a document, whatever, and then you, inverted commas, seal it in a PDF. That's what it was. And it wasn't editable and everyone became happy and safe. Now, of course, we've got editable PDFs.
Yeah.
So the first thing that I say is, well, I don't trust a PDF for a document that's going to be binding. So now I get this document. I don't sign on it because I don't have Pro. So I print it out. Now, as you said, if it comes from a let's just be polite. If it comes from a financial or life or insurance institution, it's long. I don't think they have short documents. There's always the preamble, the terms and conditions, and everything that goes with it before you actually get into the one little signature line. So I print this thing out. I then took my phone. Brett and I have actually talked about it. Scanio, right? Okay.
Scannable.
No, are you Scanio?
Are you Scannable?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Okay, well, Scanio, Scannable, tomato,
yeah.
tomato.
We have spoken about it, yeah.
We have. There's no reason why you can't use a phone to scan a document. I mean, let's be honest. They take great pictures. You put it on a proper surface.
Better than fax machines.
Correct.
Yeah. What?
Okay.
A fax machine.
Check, he's sitting here with a book and like... I hope it's a Moleskine. He hasn't got a Mont Blanc pen, though.
No, it's not a
It's
Moleskine.
Not even a Moleskine. Oh, you know.
Well, you know it's on the Christmas list.
Yeah, there we go. We have to get you a Moleskine. But, you know, basically, I print this thing out. I take pictures. I send it back. I get an email. Sorry, the way you've sent the document back is not it's not scanned or something. You can. It's photographs. We can't accept that. I lost my shit. Okay. I phoned my private bank. I said, this is what I'm trying to do. This is what I'm doing. You get a courier to come here with a document. Bring it to me, I'll sign it, and he can wait, and he can go home with it, because this is what I've gone through. She goes, you're not the first person to complain about that. So, one, it's not green. Two, it's a pain in the ass. Three, I can't get it back into an e-format anyway. So, the question that with Impression, is it an app, or do I, you know, because I always go to this, because there's these barriers to entry, and I defend apps till the cows come home, but I've also predicting, and it's called futurology, that we're not going to have apps in 5 years from now.
All right.
Cool. Okay. Well, let's carry on that discussion. I'm glad that someone who's in the game actually potentially agrees or disagrees with me. So take us through, if my bank had been using Impression, how would that journey have been for me? Because I always like personal journey. Yeah. I can visualize it.
Before I come into the journey, I just want to talk a bit about PDFs and security.
Yeah.
So when we started this journey, we had a look at all the different document formats to try and determine which one was going to be the most secure. Word and Excel and all those other formats, as you say, they're open standards. They're meant to be open standards, so they're difficult to secure. PDF, as you've described it, so just converting from Word to PDF and opening it up in Acrobat Professional, for instance, that's still not very secure. So PDF as a standalone PDF is not secure. But what does make it secure is there's 5 or 6 ISO standards that deal with how you wrap a PDF in a particular way to make it secure so that you can't edit it inside of Acrobat Professional or open it up in TextPad and hack away at the binary that's inside of that PDF.
Yeah.
So these ISO standards talk about using digital certificates. So I know this is getting quite technical, but there's digital certificate technology that underpins how we lock this document down. So behind every handwritten signature, we've got biometrics. So I'll talk a bit about the biometrics that we capture from that handwritten signature. But it also is underpinned with a digital certificate. So we have a look at that document in its entirety, and we generate a hashed checksum of that document, and that gets signed with a digital certificate stored inside of that document. And when you open up in either Acrobat Professional or Adobe Reader, the free version, you get that banner across the top with a green tick to say, this document has been signed correctly and legally, and it hasn't been altered since it has been signed. Now, if you were to make changes to that document inside of Acrobat Professional, it would then that green banner would disappear, and you get a red cross to say this document's been altered.
Yeah.
So the entire audit trail is what's important about how that document gets changed and how we certify it with digital certificates. So that's the security aspect of the PDF.
I mean, people don't really understand that. And you know, you mentioned phishing earlier. That's what got me thinking straight back to security. And I did say at the beginning that this was always going to be a discussion direction. But, you know, and I hate saying the older generation because, honestly, I fall into the older generation. I mean, you do. I think if you're over 30, you're deemed to be post or rather pre-computer digital. I'm talking about the older generation, the guys that are in their late 60s, 70s, people that are still reliant on banking, even more so, they need to get cash. They can be taken advantage of so easily.
They just got used to fax machines, and now we've got...
Now you're just being nasty.
Sorry. you brought it up. It's a futurology show, but don't look back.
But the point is that, you know, if you've got a product that's going to help you get that verification, which it sounds like Impressions is going to help us meet that. Now take me to my journey. So did I need an app or did I just receive a link and then I do it all online? And then there's actually two parts to my question because I've asked this of our previous guests. Does it all run through your servers, as in your company servers? Does it run through their servers? Where does the trail go and who's then obviously on the line if something does or doesn't go wrong?
So because we're using that PDF ISO standard for wrapping up that transaction, you know, both the handwritten signature and the PDF itself, as long as that process is indivisible, so you can't split it up, split up the signature from the actual document, then so then you won't be able to, it doesn't matter where that document travels.
Yeah, you don't break the chain of integrity or
something. That chain is intact.
Yeah.
So when going through your journey of what it would look like, let's say someone's trying to sell you insurance, so Liberty.
All day.
Yeah. but you actually want it this time.
Okay.
So you've gone through the quoting process and they're sending you a proposal that they want you to sign. So either a broker comes out to you or you go to your broker or you go into one of their branches. But with the impression solution, what we can do is send that app link firstly to your email. You need to get the app onto your device somehow. So we need to let you know that something's waiting.
Okay, so there is an app environment.
So there's a call to action to download the app.
Yeah, which is free.
Which is free. So you can get it from any of the Windows Store, the
you
Apple
built
Store.
You built for Windows?
Yeah, we built for all the platforms.
You guys are Oracle platform, so yeah.
You'll actually be surprised how much bigger the Windows platform from an app perspective is than Apple.
App of the week on Windows.
That silence that you just heard.
We're like, no, what?
I just had to swallow. I was like, okay, I will be surprised, and please don't ruin my day. Today's Apple Day.
Yeah, yeah.
You can come next week and tell me how much bigger it is.
And so there's a call to action to get this free app onto your device, and once you've got it, we push the document that the insurance company wants you to sign directly into the app. So you'll get a push notification on any device that says, look, insurance company XYZ has sent you something important. Please review it, sign it, and send it back. So the guy will click the push notification. It opens up the document in impression, and he can then sign the document. So you can either add signature tags or click pre-embedded signature tags that are in the document, which locks that document down with that digital certificate.
Just explain the signature tag.
So Acrobat Forms, you've seen it with SARS.
Right.
With the SARS forms where you've got text boxes that you can type into.
You type your name, but the fact that you're typing it, it acts as a signature.
So those are tags. So the signature tag is an example of just another box that captures these digital certificates and the handwritten signature.
Okay.
So it's just a pre-embedded place on the document where you can apply the signature. So once you've signed it, we can see that that document's been signed, and we immediately send it back to the insurer. So the process of having to print this thing out and sign it and scan it back, we've done away with all of that. And just literally on the device in a few seconds, you swipe your finger, you've signed the document, and you can send it back off.
Okay. So here I go again, negative Nelly.
I've got some positives, so go for it.
No. It's just the questions are going to be asked. I can barely write nowadays. I mean, I live on a keyboard. I think when you have to go to the police station and you have to write a statement, I leave there with extreme hand pain. I mean, because we don't write anymore, we type.
Yeah.
So I've noticed over the years my signature's starting to look really cuck. It's looking tired. Now, that's with a pen. When I try and use my finger, because I don't have a stylus, I'm using an iPhone, and I know you can get them, but it's not great. What I'm trying to get to, it's actually a positive. I'm assuming, though, the fact of the action, it's not so much the visual component of the signature. So whether I just put an X to belittle the system, or I type my name, Brett Levy, the fact that I've done it on your app with a dedicated link, are you saying that would be binding?
Absolutely.
Because that to me, I've seen so many cases in the past when they've now queried hand signatures and they said, well, I never signed that. I said, you did. That's your signature.
Yeah.
It's fraud. It's this. It's that. So you basically, because I don't think people are really understanding, that to me is where the benefit comes in. You've opened the app. You've clicked a dedicated link. It was created for me. You've signed it. However, the fact that you've done something and pushed save, I assume, and then it's transmitted back, it's binding.
So you can take the GPS location, for instance, of where the guy has now signed this
document.
That was
my next question, but okay.
And you can put that right into the document. There's a nice little Google Maps link that you can click, and you can see there I stood in my house and I signed this document.
At Bryanston.
You can't see that I was in my pajamas when I signed it. But
well, I got bad news for you. My son would be able to move your document to where is he now? I think he's in San Francisco chasing a salamander or something like that. I don't know. But
so one good thing, I mean, like, I'm traveling now, so my directors get information now that needs signing. They need me to sign with them. I'm in a different country. Now, impression would basically make it available so that we can all have the same document as secure as it needs to be. Sign, send back.
Comes straight through to your phone. You can sign it on the phone and you can send it back.
Huge win.
That is a huge win.
I'm signing up now.
So you said the app is free.
Yes.
Okay, none of us are in business for nothing. So I assume then the commercial model sits with the person that's sending you the document. And is it transactional or do they just pay a license?
Correct.
That was two questions. Okay, but let me explain. Why I'm asking is, again, with all the innovators we've had here, there's been so many different models. And I get asked this question a lot by my clients. Do we go the software as a solution model? Do we go the license model? Like you pay once and you use ultimate unlimited. Let's say you're a bank, okay? Would you then charge a per transaction charge, or is it a flat fee? And in other words, they buy a seat on your system. They buy their own engine. How does that work, or is it both?
We're very flexible with the licensing model, and we've had to be because we're a startup. So when you're negotiating and it's a new product and you're trying to get it out there, people want all sorts of things as part of their licensing model.
Now, as
we're growing and we're getting more customers onto it, it's becoming essential that we standardize how we price it. So we've got two models essentially for enterprises, which is there's an annual license fee. So once-off license fee with annual maintenance and support after that. Or it's a flat monthly fee. So we talk with them about their volumes beforehand and how many they plan to send. And then it's a fixed monthly fee.
So it's not per transaction.
No. And Yeah, I've got a problem with per transaction models because, you know, they make you lots of money, but it almost incentivizes you to sign less because, you know, you're being charged per signature. So you're going to try and sign as little as possible.
Yeah. I mean, that's like the lawyer model. Hey, Brett, you know,
you're smashing with a rod rather than incentivizing with a carrot.
Yeah.
I was very fortunate to have a person in my family that was a very powerful attorney, and he would never charge me for his time. Thankfully, I don't think I could afford an hour. But he would always send me a disbursements bill. And this Oaks freaking disbursements bill, because that would just come from the secretary, you know, it was more than what any lawyer would charge me all in, you know, because it's at that level. And as you say, each fax sent or each phone call made, I'm like, well, stop freaking phoning people. Don't, you know. So it's basically a one-off a monthly cost. So you will work with a customer, because the reason I asked that, what about the small little guy?
Yeah.
You know, you're a startup. I mean, you've walked the small guy's shoes, you know, and it's a lonely, hard road. I mean, your techies wear out very quickly. So if you've got a company that needs to get documents, even like a courier, so you get a little startup courier that's like doing, well, let's talk about our friends Bottles. You know, they're coming to your house now. I mean, I'm assuming Bottles will be listening by now. We saw a tweet come back from them. But they come, they deliver. You order on the app, they deliver. They have to get some form of acknowledgement that they've delivered.
A proof of delivery.
Correct.
Yeah.
So they're a small company at the moment. They might be growing. Would they be able to join Impressions as well?
So I've actually got, again, two models there.
Okay.
So in the case of an app developer like Bottles, and we've actually got a live case with a company called Snapcart, and it's an app that I also recommend you guys take a look at.
Snapcart. Brett's fingers are already going top.
These guys want to revolutionize the courier industry.
Okay.
And so, again, there's an app that's courier-facing and there's an app that's client-facing. So once the courier drops the package off at the customer, he needs a proof of delivery sign. So how did they used to do it? The guy came with a piece of paper and you had to sign in the book or sign the piece of paper and get that back. So what the guys have done, and they've licensed it from us in this way, is they've embedded our signature component inside of their app. Okay. So we've written it in such a way that you can, so it's an SDK that you can put into your own app, and companies can do it as well. It's not just for app developers.
Sure.
But they've added that signature component to their app to do away with paper proof of deliveries.
Yeah.
Now, that's a massive customer benefit and courier benefit.
It doesn't get crumpled, it doesn't get lost.
No,
it's actually
right.
It's in the filing already.
And again, GPS location.
Yeah.
So did the courier actually go to the place that he said he went to drop this package off? So, I mean, it's just changed the way that sort of transaction approval works. You know, behind every transaction approval, there's a document. But because we're doing it on mobile devices, there's so much more that you can put behind it.
So the pen isn't as mighty as we thought it was in the past.
And look, with Apple as well, you'll see that one of the things that I'm expecting to see tonight at the Apple event.
Good man. Don't disturb him later either.
Is the Apple Pencil. So the Apple Pencil
coming down in price.
Is coming down in price, but it's also coming down the device ranges. So there's even talk of it coming to the iPhone.
It makes, you know, I can't believe I was going to say this. It makes sense. Steve Jobs is rolling in his grave. I mean, he used to always talk about, you've got 10 styli. Did we ever work out what the word is?
Stylus.
And now they've got the Pencil. And now you're talking about software that will run it down. But let's be honest. When Steve and the iPhone and that came out, yes, that's what it was. We've evolved. You're sitting here today and you've been acknowledged by a company like Gartner because we've evolved and we're the Futurology show. I used to carry that note, the Samsung note, because I liked the concept of being able to write with a stylus when I write my notes. I can't write with my finger. I can't. I've tried. I've tried voice. Can't sit in a meeting and go, and he said this, and he, oh, hold on a second, I just need to go back. It picked up my wrong accent, you know? So it does make sense. And people are using iPads every single day, even little ones. And if you've got the Plus, the iPhone 6 Plus, it's a phablet, you know, and you want to be able to write. But the price on that pencil is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just stupid. I mean, you can go to the shop and buy something, it writes. So you were saying you make an SDK and an API available. I mean, that's fantastic. That really is good. And something that's always impressed me, I'm a shopaholic when it comes online. And take a lot. I get an SMS that they're delivering today. I might not be at my office, but I get a notification that my goods have been delivered. So they're obviously using some form of digital signature or something that's integrating into a system somewhere. Are they one of your clients as well?
No, not yet.
Okay, I like the yet. That's good. But I definitely see the value in what you guys are doing. Are there any other case studies or applications where this works? And I mean, I'm trying to get businesses out there thinking that are not like about the financial or policy industry.
Hospitals. So I mean, there's a
the
first thing you do when you get to admissions is there's long. You know, the guy sits with a printer and he prints this stack of stickers. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah.
And they stick it onto the pages.
Yeah.
And one of the things there is a bed letter. So to protect themselves and the fees that you need to pay to make sure that you're going to pay if your insurance company doesn't, all sorts of clauses that you need to sign. Now, you're waiting to go into the ward, and they give you the stack of papers and your initial clauses again. So a hospital is using it to sign their bed letters on admission.
And, you know, I had an unfortunate incident where I had to take someone to hospital, and we were sitting. I mean, this person was blue. They weren't breathing properly. And all they were freaking worried about was filling out the form. And I eventually said to the guy, here's my credit card.
Yeah.
Bill what you want. But just put this poor person in to emergency. That's why we're here. It's called an emergency. No, well, we've got to fill out this. As you say, the stickers.
The quickest way is just to pass out.
Yeah.
Just pass out.
He nearly
had. They'll wake you up to sign something.
Yeah. Just, well, they can now give you, they can give you the impression zap. Just put your finger.
You've got a lot of ink already on your pen, on your thumb.
You know, we're getting towards the top of the hour. What about fraud? So, you know, you send it, you create a unique link, and that's why I asked, does it sit on your servers and it's your control? Mm. I'm a Nigerian. I send your link to someone, or they have to just click and sign it. It seems official. Is it because it comes from your server that that can't happen, that I can't copy and paste? Or, I mean, I could copy and paste someone's email. Take us through how that could or couldn't work.
So it's actually an aspect that we patented. We've got two patents in the product. And one of the aspects was 3D biometric signatures. Now, if you think about a signature, you probably just think of it as a flat 2D image scrolled into a document. But in reality, that signature is created by the movement of the pen in your hand in a three-dimensional space.
Yeah, and the downward pressure on the paper.
Yeah, and the way that you move your hand stays pretty consistent from signature to signature. Now, we've captured that information, and we apply that with that 2D information into the document. So that biometric information we apply into the document with that 2D version. Now, we call it biometric because it's unique to you.
Okay.
How hard you press down when you're signing, how fast you move your hand, even how high you lift your pen between pen strokes. All of this information is unique to yourself, and we can compare it like a fingerprint or an iris.
Okay.
So things like the Note, for instance, has that capability. The iPad Pro with
Apple
Pencil.
Well, it doesn't at the moment. I wouldn't hold that near my eye. It will blow up and blow my face.
Yeah, then I've got the Note 4. That's a really fantastic product. I enjoy using that stylus. I also need to be able to write with a pen the whole time. I'm not really good with my finger.
Okay.
Yeah, as you say.
Well, I'm very good. You must see me in the traffic. I've got the most amazing finger gestures. So the
second patent was then how we apply that 3D biometric signature to tie up and secure transactions.
Okay.
So I talked about how you can't separate the signature out from the document itself. There is no copy and paste. That document needs to be one unit. The reason you do that is if you gave us the signature and that set as its own piece of data floating around a server somewhere,
true,
it could be applied to things that you didn't give your consent to. So the reason why you signed and the signature itself need to be combined together. And that process is very similar to the way blockchain works, mm-hmm, in how you add those two bits of information together as one unit,
okay,
with that full audit trail.
Awesome. Well, Brett, thanks for your Googling here. The plural of a stylus is a styli or styluses. So styluses or styli or
don't say, never gave you nothing.
Yeah, no, but I mean,
you learn
confirmed
stuff on the Futurology, sir.
But you confirmed it. So we have moved to the top of the hour already.
I think, Andy, we need to have you back on when we do talk security, because I think you're a font of knowledge, and I'd love to have you back.
I was just thinking a show, though, with Andy and Candace.
Yes.
Because Candace, so we always talk about this lady,
Doctress Doom.
She worked in the insurance industry against crime and puppy invasion and that kind of stuff. So it would be very interesting to see, like, the two of you kind of, like, almost like, you know, well, I don't think so. It actually could become a glove match. We'll put them on separate sides.
Yeah.
Look, it all helps innovation at the end of the day.
Exactly.
I think that's the key word. In fact, you're the first of the innovators to actually have referenced the word
innovation.
Innovator.
Yeah,
innovation. I love it. I mean, I'm you know, my wife always says to me, the printer's not working. I said, why are you asking me? I don't know anything about printers.
Because you're
in print.
IT, right?
But I don't print. Have you tried turning it on and off again? But I don't print. I don't believe in printing because what the hell am I supposed to do with that piece of paper afterwards? I've got it on a screen. I can take a photo. I can touch it. You know, you get a little simple app like Sketch. Sketch, where you can just draw over anything on your screen and save it. And I send notes to people. You guys use Slack. I mean, you can make notes and comments. So we have so many, but we've never had what you guys do, the actual binding. Here it is, you know. And I'm sure the banks must love it because it costs like 150 to 200 rand to process an administration of anything. You know, in their human time, their paper time, or am I wrong? Is it more?
The storage, the printing costs, the paper, the ink,
the track,
when they lose the documents.
Oh, that's a great one. Before we wrap up, storage.
Quick.
Who stores it? The client.
That's always the client. It's passed through.
You don't hold it. No. Okay, it's cool. Because I say your server farms is massive. No. Okay. Brett, before you go to Amsterdam, before you find the coffee shops and all those wonderful things, before your cavity search, going there or back, I haven't decided yet, the thought for the day.
The thought for the day is actually very related to impression. I think it's great that you guys have innovated in an area of real-life use. I think a lot of innovators or wannabe innovators are looking for innovative opportunities rather than just saying, look at their real life and the necessity that is there. And you guys have answered a real dilemma in terms of security and availability. So convenience, you've knocked it out the park. But it's just a great way of doing it. And then looking at your website, you've taken that real-world use and actually pushed it as the marketing. A lot of guys will say, cool, now we've developed this great new innovative product, but we have no idea how to make it relate to the people that are going to use it. And I think you've done a great job there. And I think that's just a good takeout from anybody that's out there looking to be an innovator or looking to start up a new thing. Real-life problems need solving. Don't try and find the silver lining before you've even realized that there's a cloud to deal with.
Nice.
Yeah.
Andy, where do we find you? What's the web address?
So the website that Brett's talking about is www.impression-signatures.com.
And we have tweeted it as well. So check out the tweets and retweet and send it on.
So we got all of that. So I think then, as I said at the beginning of the show, I can really now say thanks to MTN Business again for sponsoring our show. And until next time, keep your screens clean, and I have lots of them and my knob shiny.
This is CliffCentral.com.